flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Then we have the roll call.
Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Morgan?
Here.
Councilmember Edelman?
Here.
Councilmember Weber?
Here.
Councilmember Pepper?
Here.
They've got their mics on.
And you guys are hard to hear during the meeting, so if you could...
I would accept a motion for the consent agenda.
Make a motion for the consent agenda.
Second.
I'll second it.
Okay.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next item on the agenda is public comments. Persons wishing to address the City Council regarding items of new business are encouraged to do so at this time. When recognized by the mayor, please come to the podium and clearly state your name. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes. If you desire a formal agenda placement, please contact the city clerk. Is there anybody wishing to speak? Judy.
Mayor Denson, I have a general comment to make. Is that better to wait until the end of the session, or it's not regarding all this or regarding this?
It doesn't matter. Whenever you're comfortable doing
okay.
It. Okay, Judy.
Judy Goodwin, 29044, 222nd Place. Southeast Black Diamond. My husband is usually the one in front of a microphone, so you'll have to forgive me. I'm not as used to it. I'd like to thank you, Mayor Benson and Council, for this opportunity to speak to you. The last few weeks, I've felt angry and frustrated and saddened by the premature passing of resolutions to change the way our city government works. The speed with which these changes have been made has not allowed the citizens of Black Diamond to study these changes and reflect on their implications. This approach reminds me of when Mayor Gordon was elected and made immediate changes that turned into his undoing and cost the city over $200,000 and a city manager. I could go on and was about to until I attended my Bible study today. Some words of wisdom for me, and I hope for you, come from that study. No one is better suited for places of authority than those who can submit to authority. And I'll repeat that. No one is better suited for places of authority than those who can submit to authority. I was also reminded that we are to love our brothers as we love ourselves, love our neighbors as ourselves, and we, of course, are all neighbors. I'm going to try and set aside my anger, and instead I'm going to pray for all of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else wishing to speak? George?
My name is George McPherson. I live at 29062, 222nd Place, Southeast, Black Diamond. And happen to be neighbors. I didn't know my neighbor was going to be here tonight, so she said things very well. I hope I do as well as she did. This is on the same topic, really. And I wrote it out so I can stay within that 3 minutes, hopefully. If I have an extra minute, I hope you won't mind. But this is directed specifically to council members Morgan, Weber, and Pepper. And it has to do with the last meeting you had. My understanding, at a past meeting of the council, it was established that there would be 3 council members on each of the 3 standing committees instead of 2 members. I also understand this was done despite the recommendation of the city attorney and city's insurance representative to not make this change. As I understand it, each of the 3 committees will now have a quorum on the council at each meeting. This would appear to mean that decisions made at committee meetings will no longer need to be fully discussed at council meetings because a vote will already have been taken at committee level. This change will no doubt require additional staff time to attend each council and community meeting, take minutes, see that the minutes are posted, prepare necessary documents, and announce times of future committee meetings so the public can be made aware of these meetings. Also, as is now the case when the council meets, the city attorney is usually present. I assume the attorney will need to be present when committee meetings are held, since committee votes at these meetings can be a final one. I also assume that in order to have additional staff and the city attorney available, the city's budget will no doubt be impacted. In order for citizens to be fully aware of city activities, it appears an individual will need to attend at least 5 city meetings a month, or actually, council meetings might not be necessary, as final decisions could be made at the committee level. It surprised me to hear the council took this action against the advice of both their attorney and insurance representative. To me, this action appears to be extremely risky. Who will be held responsible if the council is challenged? Who will be held responsible if they're challenged regarding these committee actions? Will this new procedure be legal under our state's open meeting laws? What could the cost be if legal action is taken against the city's new council arrangement? Will taxpayers be footing the bill, or will individual council members be footing the bill in this case? I believe the council must I believe the council action necessarily puts the city in jeopardy, and I hope the council will reconsider this motion that they made. And last, then I had a chance to read the newspaper, and that gave me some other thoughts about this whole thing.
Mr. McPherson, your time is up.
May I request one more minute?
Yes. That's okay.
That's fine.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. After I wrote my memo of February 2nd, 2016, I had an opportunity to read stories in the Reporter and Voice of the Valley about recent council actions. I want to thank Ray Hill, the Reporter's assistant editor, and Kathleen Kerr, reporting for the Voice of the Valley, for their very informative articles. They covered all of the bases. Their stories made me think of several things I had not considered in my memo. First, I wonder why no one who voted for the rule changes thought to ask city staff for input. These changes will have a considerable effect on city employee work. I'm sure their input would have been helpful to new members of the council. Second, I thought of the number of new meetings that will be required. Will these meetings be held during the day or in the evening or on weekends? How many additional meetings will staff be required to attend? What impact will this have on their personal lives? And I think that morale is a factor there. Third, will these meetings be held so the public will be able to attend without having to leave work if they desire to attend? Fourth, with the new rules in place, who's in charge of directing the staff? It looks like any member of the council can do this. I thought the council was to make policy and the mayor was to execute that policy. And if people get different directions from different people on the council, what are they supposed to do? What are the staff members supposed to do? Last, when did the 3 council members who prepared this change get together to prepare it? It obviously took some planning. Were there meetings within the framework of open meeting requirements? I'm sure there will be many more questions about how this new arrangement will work. It will be interesting to see if this experiment draws large crowds to future council and council committee meetings, which apparently was the reason for your new city plan and new arrangement. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else wishing to speak? Robin?
Good evening, Mayor, Council. Robin Taylor, Black Diamond. Horses have been used throughout history to herd cattle. A well-tempered horse with experience herding cattle is one that can be trusted. It knows that the job isn't chasing cattle, it is working cattle. The horse and rider form a team that works together to accomplish a task. A cowhand does not take a green-broke horse out to do serious work. This type of horse is able to be ridden at best and has no experience working as a team. If a Greenbrook horse is taken out to work cattle, it could take the bit, and racing off, it will run blindly into trouble. This is not a team. This is a disaster waiting to happen. Face it, the new majority is Greenbrook. Even the senior member has professed not understanding the budget or the confidential memos from the city attorney and the city insurance carrier. None of you appear to understand that you did not separate powers with your flawed rules changes, but rather you blurred the line of separation even further. Several citizens have admonished the new council minority to give the new majority a chance to learn the ropes, as if the two council members have the power to stop anything the new majority wants to do. It would have been nice if the new majority actually wanted to learn the ropes. Instead, you have taken the bit and run off half wild and blundered into trouble. Would it not have been a better strategy to at least try to be reasonable in your cause, to collaborate and use diplomacy in order to bring the minority members over to your side? Instead, you came in with clubs the first meeting, and you succeeded in creating opposition to your cause. Where there could have been strength, now there are fractures. Now everything will be a fight, and you, as the majority, will still get your way, but is it truly the best way to accomplish what this city needs? This method of entry onto the public stage didn't happen out of the blue, and you are not the first to be given bad advice. Joe May, Tammy Deedy, and Ron Taylor were all counseled to come in strong, stand united, vote unanimously, put up a strong front, and take control of the council. They did not follow this advice, but they did get control of the council. It happened with Dave Gordon when he came in and treated the sitting council as if they were the enemy. Reality is, we are all fighting for the same thing, a better, well-protected Black Diamond, yet we are continually being squared off against one another by outside forces from Bellevue and Issaquah. Please remember, the new majority was strong in their opinion that they did not want anyone from outside the city limits having positions of influence on the Planning Commission. There is a dichotomy between thought and action taking place within the new majority when you continue to allow Bellevue and Issaquah to influence what you do on the city council. Thank you.
Is there anybody else wishing to speak? Mr. Dardowski?
Madam Mayor and council members, thank you very much for your public service and for doing the best you can. I'm one of those people from the Issaquah area. My name is Brian Dardowski. I served on the King County Council for a number of years, and I've been working with you on trying to understand and work with how to make the council more accountable and do a better job. And so some of the commentary on the rules conflicts with what my experience is. And so I contacted the King County Council, and I received a memo today from Cindy Domingo, who is the Chief of Staff for Councilmember Larry Gossett. And here's what she wrote. Hello, Councilmember Dardowski. It was good to hear from you. The legislative review process that we use on the County Council is essentially the same as we used when you were on the Council. All legislation is introduced by a council member and placed on the Council agenda for first reading, where it is assigned to one of our standing committees. Some of these standing committees have quorum memberships, meaning that they have memberships as large as a quorum of the council, including the committee of the whole, which includes all of the council members. The agenda for these standing committees is set by the chair of the committee. The committees review legislation and take votes to make recommendations to the full council in the form of do pass recommendations, which mean that the committee recommends that the council should vote to approve the legislation. Sometimes a standing committee will vote a piece of legislation out of committee with no recommendation. This means that the committee moves the legislation onto the council without a recommendation. If a piece of legislation does not get a majority vote to move out of committee, or if the committee chair decides to hold the legislation in committee, the legislation dies unless a majority of the council votes to relieve the committee of the legislation and move it on to the council. At the discretion of the committee chair, sometimes legislation is signed out of committee, which means that a signature page is circulated to committee members that indicates their approval to move the legislation out of committee with either a do pass recommendation or a no recommendation recommendation. Just because a piece of legislation moves out of a committee with a do pass recommendation doesn't mean that the council will actually approve it. Sometimes even committee members who voted in favor of the legislation in committee may decide to vote against or amend the legislation at full council. All standing committee meetings are scheduled far in advance with only very general agendas posted describing what the committee does. As the committee date approaches, the detailed agenda is legally noticed as required by law. All standing committees...
Mr. Drudowski, did you want to allow him more time?
Another couple minutes, but we've been given two more minutes.
Thank you. By the way, I appreciate that new policy that the new majority has brought in. I think it reduces tension between the public and the council members, and in the long run, I think it'll be a better input for everybody. To continue this memo from Cindy Domingo, Chief of Staff, who's been with the council for 20-some years, with Councilmember Larry Gossett. All standing committee meetings are scheduled far in advance with only very general agenda posted describing what the committee does. As the committee date approaches, the detailed agenda is legally noticed as required by law. All standing committee meetings must and do comply with the Open Public Meetings Act. Our committee process and notice requirements have gone through thorough legal review and have stood the test of time. Hope this is helpful to you. Signed, Cindy Domingo, Chief of Staff, King County Council, Councilmember Larry Gossett. Now, then what I did is I've got copies of this memo, by the way, which I'll distribute to y'all through Brenda. I also brought, just for samples, the meeting minutes of April 21st, 2050. I just grabbed one from the Transportation Committee. There are a number of members that are a majority. And if you read the agenda, this is the minutes of the meeting. And it says proposed motion number, and it says how many people voted. Yes, seven. There's 9 council members. That means this is a 7-member committee, and they're making votes on a, and here's what it says. A motion was made by Vice Chair Haig that this ordinance be recommended do pass consent. That means they're recommending it go on the consent calendar. The motion carried by the following vote. Here's another one. A motion was made by Councilmember Phillips that this motion be recommended do pass substitute. What that means is the committee voted out a substitute that was different than the ordinance that was assigned to it by the council. The motion carried by the following vote, 7-0. This is proof through the minutes, and there's hundreds of examples of this, that what I've been telling you and what others have been telling you is correct. That committees with quorums on them are legal. They have the authority to review legislation and to take votes. And those votes may be in the form of do pass. They do it every week. Now, mind you, I had input on the rules. Before I went off to help suggest things, I spoke to a lot of attorneys. Now, mind you, I am not an attorney. And you should never take advice on legal matters from a person who's not an attorney. But I can tell you I did a lot of research on this. And I have found that there's a number of jurisdictions that do this. Spokane, for example, has this same practice, where they have quorum committees with the right to vote recommendations out of committee. Now, here's the problem. The fundamental baseline, the biggest decision that was opposed and created all this friction was when you were advised that this is illegal. And two of you were convinced because of that legal advice you were given to say, I refuse to participate. I am not going to participate in an illegal meeting. And then the mayor said, I refuse to send staff to an illegal meeting. These are not illegal meetings. How many times do you have to hear that? Now, I can tell you one final story. When I was first elected to the King County Council, I was chair of the Growth Management Committee, and I was putting in a lot of legislation. And at the last minute, I was getting these legal memos from the prosecuting attorney's office that would kill my legislation and force me to go back to committee. And I wondered, why is this happening? Because when I would ask for legal advice.
Yes.
I think his time is up.
Oh, well, to bring it to conclusion, the moral to the story is the county council hired extra attorneys to get different opinions so that instead of being told what to do, we were told how to do it and what the options were and the different approaches. And it made all the difference in the world. To this day, the county council uses that same process, and the legislation is better for it, and the people are better for it. And that's the most important thing, because serving the people is more important than any disagreement you might have. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you.
Kristen, did you want to speak?
Hi. Kristen Bryant. I live in Bellevue, and I grew up in Black Diamond, and I'm a fourth-generation descendant of the area. And I am a part of Save Black Diamond, and I'm glad to see many other people here tonight who are also. And I wanted to say that after being stymied for years when trying to bring wishes on issues or even, you know, general concerns to the council, things like getting some more information posted online sooner, getting more dialogue with staff earlier in the process, getting the council to feel empowered to truly set policy and legislate based on what the voters have repeatedly asked for. I'm glad to see a new approach. I think that a new approach is warranted. We've there's a lot of more things that can be done. And after this year's first meeting and on seeing the pressure on the new council members since to change what I understand to be very reasonable rules, I can understand actually why it was all the more important for them to take action and pass them. They've said they're, you know, going to continue to improve them. I think that trying them is going to be a welcome change. I know that I and others are looking forward to moving on to things like improving the city's traffic ordinance, improving the environmental ordinances, and other issues that come up. So I hope that we can move on from a more of a procedural thing. Thank you.
Is there anybody else wishing to speak?
Could I read something into the record?
Yes.
Yes, of course.
Pat Nelson, 28903, 218th Avenue Southeast in Black Diamond. The funny thing about the policy change was us voters voted what we wanted. And to have a majority come in and bully the rest of the city for their hidden agendas or actually pretty open agendas is sad. We had a pretty good vote, and people that actually voted for you guys voted to have a specific way they wanted the city run. And basically to come in and spit in their face shows the integrity of the people running in office. And I've spent a lot of time talking to residents, and they're very disheartened at what they've seen Pepper, Weber, and Morgan do. And the sad part is you don't care about what the voters said. You're being told what to do by Save Black Diamond. They want to run the council. They've got the majority. They've got their way. That's neat. You've got Brian Dordowski here telling you what a great thing to do in the city. They don't even live here. But the residents live here voted. And we voted for a certain way we wanted it. And the sad part is you've taken our vote away, we don't matter anymore, and you've gotten your way. But Save Black Diamond agenda is to do one thing, and that's stop any growth. The sad part is you're never going to make that happen. You're wasting the city's time. You're wasting the council's time. And unfortunately, you're wasting the time of voters that actually care to make a change in the city. And a mayor that was doing a pretty good job. So I would just ask, and I'm just going to say it on the record, that either you change your mind or step down from your position because you're wasting all of our time. Thank you.
Would anybody else like to speak? Bob?
Hi. Bob Edelman, 29871, 232nd Avenue Southeast, Black Diamond. I wasn't going to speak. Now, it's hard to resist it after listening to Mr. Dudowski. I need to remind him of a few things. First of all, I want to remind him that he doesn't live in Issaquah. He's registered to vote in a residence in Bellevue. I wish he'd quit telling us that he's from Issaquah. Secondly, I want to remind him that this is not the King County Council. We're a city of roughly 4,000 people. King County Council is a charter city. It's not a code city. I believe that's correct. Is that right? I'm sorry. I said city. Excuse me. They've had a large number. My wife can tell you exactly, probably, number of issues that they have to deal with weekly, far more than we have to deal with. It's totally absurd to take a resolution from what essentially is a committee of the whole and send that resolution to a committee, have that committee sit on it, look at it a while, and then bring it back when it can all be handled here. I'm sorry, Mr. Dudowski. I do not appreciate that vast amount of experience that you had in King County Council. It does not apply here, and you shouldn't try to attempt it to apply here.
Does anybody else like to speak? Carol Morris.
I wanted to just clarify something given the comments that were made by Mr. Dudowski. I also want to tell everyone that I gave the council a copy of an attorney general opinion that was dated 2010. It's attorney general opinion number 9. And I think the issue of the council quorum that was proposed by the new rules on committee is addressed by that opinion. And I'm reading now from the King County Council Rules and Order of Business, and it states, a legal analysis of the Open Public Meetings Act by the Office of Attorney General, 2010, AGO number 9, has advised that when a committee meeting is attended by a quorum of the governing body, it must be noticed not only as a committee meeting, but also as a meeting of the governing body. For this reason, all meetings of council committees shall be noticed both as committee meetings and as council meetings, whose agenda is limited to committee business. So the problem that arose with regard to the new rules that just came in is that even though they showed that there would be a quorum of council members on council committees, they did not recognize what the King County Council rules do, and that is a quorum of a council at a committee meeting requires notice to the public, not only that a committee is going to transact business, but also that the city council is going to transact business. So it requires meeting notice of a regular council meeting as well as a committee meeting for the same meeting. That was not in the amended rule. So Mr. Dudowski is telling you that you can have quorum committee meetings, but the rules that he drafted and then proposed through the council members did not show the appropriate notice to the public. So what we now have with the rules are regular council meetings every single time the committees meet. That's the effect. And I just want to clarify that my opinion about whether or not there can be a quorum on council committees is accurate if all you do is provide notice of a committee meeting. And the Attorney General opinion agrees with me, and so apparently does the County Council in King County.
Madam Mayor, my name has been used. I think I should have an opportunity.
No, no, you had your opportunity. You had your opportunity.
I should have an opportunity to respond to that. She took a personal attack on my...
You've attacked everybody. Sit down, please. Is there anybody else wishing to speak? Okay, Pat, you said you had something to read.
Yes, I would like to read something into the record, and I'm doing it now because it is with regard to the things that we have been discussing. And I recognize that there are differences of opinion, and I would like to read into the record an opinion that agrees with some of the things that have been said and maybe make clear some of the things that we're not quite sure about. This was prepared by a law firm. I will only read part of it, and if anyone would care for the full article, I would be really happy to distribute that to persons who would like to have it. A brief summary of the OPMA, which is the Open Public Meetings Act. In adopting the OPMA, decades ago, the legislature expressed the following intent. The legislature finds and declares that all public commissions, boards, councils, committees, subcommittees, and all other public agencies of this state and subdivisions thereof exist to aid in the conduct of the people's business. It is the intent of this chapter that their actions be taken openly and that their deliberations be conducted openly. Now, one of the questions asked was, can standing committees have a quorum of council members? The legal response was the following. You asked whether it is legal under the OPMA for a majority of council members to serve on a standing committee of a council. The answer is yes, as long as the committee's meetings meet the same openness requirements that apply to full council meetings. Washington courts have consistently held that a meeting of a governing body occurs when a majority of the full body's members gather with the intent to conduct official business. See, for example, Wood versus Battleground School District. Thus, when at least three members of a five-member council gather to consider official business, it doesn't matter whether it is called a committee meeting or a council meeting. The presence of a council majority makes it a meeting for purposes of requiring openness under RCW 42.30.030. If the council plans to meet regularly as a standing committee, it should adopt a regular schedule so that the public can anticipate opportunities to attend committee meetings. RCW 42.30.070 says the governing body of a public agency shall provide the time for holding regular meetings by ordinance, resolution, bylaws, or by whatever other rule is required for the conduct of business by that body. Also, agendas for regular meetings should be posted online at least 24 hours in advance pursuant to RCW 42.30.077. Alternately, the council's presiding officer or majority of council members can call a special meeting each time the council meets as a standing committee. A special meeting requires public notice to be posted 24 hours in advance on the agency's website at the meeting site at a minimum. See RCW 42.30.802. Unlike at a regular meeting, final action at a special meeting is limited to the matters specifically mentioned in the public notice. There is nothing in the OPMA that limits the size of a council committee. In fact, it is not unusual for a council to have a committee of the whole consisting of all council members, as long as the public has the requisite notice and opportunity to attend the governing body's meetings will satisfy the OPMA. There is more. I won't read any more out into the record. But we have copies that are available if you would care to have them. Thank you for your kind attention.
Mayor?
Yes.
If it's okay, since Bob mentioned King County and mentioned my name, I thought I would just throw out some statistics and some of the research that I've done this week. In King County, they've gone from 11 council members down to 9. We have 5. King County has a population greater than 2 million people, and out of that, 252,000 live in unincorporated King County and are actually governed by that council. We have, as near as I can tell, about 4,200 people. They have 7 standing committees. The transportation is their big committee that has a quorum of people. I also believe that because, and as was written or stated, they're also televised. These are all very public meetings, so that changes the dynamic entirely. We have now 3 committees. We used to have 5 that functioned quite well. King County has a 2-year budget of $9 billion. We have an annual budget of about $11 million. Now, I took a lot of information from their February 1st meeting, which was Monday. They had 36 pieces of legislation coming across their desks. They had 3 public hearings that they actually suspended their rules for referral to committee so that they could pass them and again move them on. We tonight have 3 resolutions. All of their committee meetings are held during their normal business day. They are not held in the evening. There was special circumstances if they have an evening meeting. So I just wanted to get that also on the record.
Okay, we have no public hearings and we have no unfinished business. The first item on the agenda is awarding a contract, resolution number 16-1073, awarding contract to Iverson and Sons for downtown water main project. Mr. Botcher.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council. So this is a project that has been in the works for quite some time. So I want to cover basically 4 things: the planning that went into it, the benefits of the project, where the project is, and the timing. Back in 2013, the city added this project to the capital improvement plan. Public hearings were held. This project was selected for grant funding in 2013. There was a grant agreement went before council in 2014. Public hearings were held on the budget in 2014 that set aside monies for this project. King County Community Development Block Grant held a public hearing on the spending plan, which included our project. The city council approved a contract for design in 2014. There was a public hearing on the 2016 budget that also included funding for this project. So it was anticipated to be completed this year. The project's been advertised. We've received the bids. So we're now at the point, this is the second to last step to completing this project that was started back in 2013. The last step being accepting the project as complete would be the last formal step that the council would take. Talk about the benefits. This is a water main replacement project in the downtown area. So it'll improve reliability in the area, improve fire flow. We're eliminating some dead-end lines and making some connections so that we'll improve water quality on dead-end lines and improve the operation of the system. I'm going to cover a little bit about the finances of the city, and maybe the longstanding council members, of course, know this, that since 2008, the city has not been able to afford to replace water mains or any major repair projects in the water system. In fact, after 3 15% rate increases, we're just getting to balancing the finances so that we weren't losing money. We're still not at a point where the finances of the water utility is healthy enough to replace any pipe or paint a water tank or take care of itself in the long term. So this project, or the grant, provides, if we were to fund it with rates, would take about a 5.6% rate increase for 6 years to fund this project. On the where this is, you know, we received a call from King County Community Development Block Grant. They got a call, I think, Brian, did you call them? They received a call about that you had some questions about the project. Well, somebody named Brian that said they work at the city called them and was they were concerned that that the project was benefiting developers or something like that. So I wanted to clarify that rather than take the time to try and put that on the screen at this time. This is in the downtown area. So if you're familiar with where the museum is and the post office, it'll replace asbestos line between the post office and the museum. And then on the north side of the museum, down to Railroad Avenue, and then replacing, completing a missing link between the King County Housing Project and Baker Avenue, and some smaller connections off the end of Railroad Avenue and Minor Street. The timing of this project is the King County gave us a little more. We extended the project, got an extension on the grant in the fall, and they gave us a short window to complete this. So we need to have the project wrapped up by mid-June. So it takes about a month to get to a notice to proceed. If we've got weather days, we've only got about 2 weeks of kind of flexibility and timing, depending on what other delays there. So it is important that we move forward with the project. So with that, I would, let's see. Oh, one other thing on finances is that this project does, for the match funding, in the fall we were anticipating a state revolving fund loan. That loan did not come through, but that's the way the budget was approved. So this would require an appropriation of REIT funds to come up with the match money, and that is covered in the resolution in Section 2, which states an additional $65,000 in REIT funds and $75,000 of water reserve funds are appropriated to fully fund the project. I think that covers things I wanted to present, so I would ask for your approval. Thanks.
Councilmember Morgan.
Hi. I don't know, Seth, if you're the right person to ask, but one of the things that's I just wanted to get on the record, these REIT funds that we're going for, there was some REIT 2 funds that we got from that Crown Development purchase. I was just wondering if those were in this. In this amount, what it says in the back here, how much is left? of the REIT II funds.
They're not here yet.
They're not here yet, so no. We'll have those others there later.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know the balance.
Well, she
told, yeah, she sold the
she
balance.
Told, she told me. She told
okay.
me. You might be able to answer this better. I'm noticing the gaps on the map, and I know that there's been a lot of work down there on pipes in the past. Are those gaps where other breaks happened and that had to get fixed?
Well, there's some missing links in our system. So the gap on First is there is no water main in that section on First.
Okay.
The gap between Railroad Avenue and Minor, there is no water main. So that completes another missing link.
Okay.
The water main on Minor replaces it's like a 1.5-inch galvanized water main that.
It's probably a fix.
What's that?
It was probably a fix, and it might have been a fix before your time.
Yeah,
you know, I've been here forever.
Substandard material and substandard.
Yeah.
This community development block grant funding does not allow funding for development, so it doesn't allow us to put in an 8-inch main where there wasn't an 8-inch main. We can replace. If there's a fire flow issue, but it doesn't allow us to extend water mains into undeveloped areas or increase size for future extensions.
That was one of the things that I was wondering about. Another one of the things that I was wondering about is I know that there's been some sinkholes in this area generally.
I'm aware of there was a sinkhole on the east or the south portion of the Eagles property.
Mm-hmm. And then another one under Rosemary Kanoski's garage.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
do we know anything more about that ground out there where we're putting this
Well, we're putting them in the street.
We're putting them in the street.
So if there are sinkholes, and that's how the last sinkhole was repaired, is that becomes an OSM, Office of Surface Mining, mm-hmm. comes and deals with it, and they repair it, patch it.
Whatever they need to do, right. And I guess the only reason that I'm really concerned is I'm thinking this time, early spring time zone, have we got any... contingent for bad or wet, hyper wet weather?
We can declare weather days and give them extensions in time.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's all I have.
Councilmember Weber?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move to adopt Resolution 16-1073, and then I'd like to speak to the motion.
Do I hear a second?
Also,
he has to do the whole motion, doesn't he?
What did you say? Exactly. The motion's on the next page.
Oh, then I can speak to that then. Then I'll amend my last comment.
Or withdraw.
I'll withdraw my last comment. Thank you.
You can go ahead and speak to it.
So normally, when you have an item that involves this kind of money, it would go to the budget and finance and administration committee that I happen to chair. I know that the timeline on this is really short. The expiration for the King County grants in, I believe, July of this year?
Yes.
Correct. Okay. I believe your recommendation is reasonable, but I do have a couple questions that I'd like to ask. Yeah. And I'll just start by saying, you know, I appreciate all the work that you guys have done on this. And I was wondering, the loan request that was denied, do we know why that was denied?
The state revolving fund is administered through the Department of Health, and they preserve those funds primarily for upgrade projects, and this was considered a repair and maintenance that they felt that we should be handling on it with our own finances. We'll get there eventually, but it's very difficult to we only have 1,100 customers, so you're not spreading those costs out amongst very many people. So bigger projects have a significant impact on rates, but the asbestos pipe isn't going to last forever.
Right, right.
So we'll have to figure that out somehow.
Okay. And so the numbers haven't changed in our council agenda bill once the $75,000 is taken out of the water reserve? We'll still have the $235,944?
Yeah, the numbers provided on the second page, $126,000 in REIT and $235,944 in what reserves, was calculated by May Miller.
And the water reserves are normally what reserves are for emergencies, that type of activity, or is there a specific?
Emergencies, but we should be saving money, setting money aside to repair and replace. The asbestos pipes are now 50, some of them maybe getting close to 60, but they aren't going to last forever. We've had some leaks, and when asbestos pipe gets soft and fails, it usually fails with a big open burst.
Right. So I guess where I was going with that, based on your experience and an average year, you can't really predict an emergency. Do you feel that we'll have enough money left in that water reserve once the $75,000 is taken out? I mean, kind of on a year-to-year thing.
For most emergencies, but again, we're not setting aside money. And we deferred the painting of the tank because we couldn't afford it.
Right.
We have another tank that we have built that's mm-hmm. much bigger, that maybe the cost of painting that or even washing it is significant. There's some of the other major improvements are the upgrade of the springs, of course, is being funded by the major landowners in the city through the water supply facilities funding agreement, but where there's some growth-related components, but there's still much of the system that the existing customers need to take care of.
Okay. I guess the last thing is that I see that you're recommending Iverson and Sons for the
yes.
since they had the lowest bid.
Yeah, they were low bid.
And they also did the Fifth Avenue project up
yes.
the hill there. Was there any issues or problems with that as far as the project goes that you know?
They did good work. They're out of Rochester. They have a long ways to drive to get here. Mm-hmm. It took them a little longer than we'd have liked, but they still got it. Were able to complete it within the time frame of the contract.
Okay, cool. Thank you. All right. Well, I guess now I can make my motion. I move to adopt resolution 16-1073, authorizing the mayor to execute a contract with Iverson and Sons Incorporated for the downtown AC water main replacement and looping project, and to appropriate additional funds from REIT 2 and water fund reserves for the completion of this project.
Second it.
Any further discussion?
I'd like to say something. Yeah, I know it's important to improve our water system, so I'm inclined to support this resolution 16-1073. It is too bad that we couldn't have that financial savings from the state's drinking water and revolving fund, but we just don't meet their criteria.
Right. It was, they felt it was repair and replacement, that the city should be taking care of that.
Yeah.
A maintenance or projects type project.
So does the city have a water system plan?
Yes.
And did that expire last summer?
Yes.
Does that hurt us as a city?
At some point, yes, we need to get caught up with that and get it completed. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next item on the agenda is resolution number 16-1074, accepting Department of Ecology grant for 2015-2017 biennial stormwater capacity grant. Mr. Botcher.
This is actually the fourth capacity grant that we've received from the Department of Ecology. It gave the city a good boost, over $100,000 when we first started our stormwater utility. But the funding has dwindled over the years. This last year, we were not sure whether we would get the funding at all, and it was debated in the state legislature, and they weren't sure they were going to have the funding. But it did come through. These funds are to be used for the city's efforts to meet our stormwater discharge permit requirements. So it gives the city flexibility in where we can spend that, where we have need within to meet the needs of our permit requirements. Ask for your acceptance of the grant.
I would like to, I noticed that this particular resolution, 16-1074, has not had a chance to have a council committee review and recommendation. And I would like to move that this resolution be referred for council committee review, and that would be to the Growth Management Land Use Planning and Community Service Committee, which is meeting, hopefully, Wednesday, February 10th at 6:30 p.m.
May I speak?
Councilmember Edelman.
I've never been in a situation where we need to take all of this stuff to committees when this is free money coming to us to perform a function that we do not have the funds for. So I would like to... She made a motion. Did you make a motion? You did not make a motion.
Yeah, I made a motion to refer.
I would like to amend that motion to suspend these rules to take action on this resolution and avoid the committee. I think it's important when we start looking at schedules right now that we're looking at tight schedules. We need to approve this thing and get this money in so that these folks can do their jobs.
If I'm reading this correctly, it says the expiration date of this agreement is no later than 3/31/2017. So it seems like if I understand this correctly, it seems like we would have time to sit down and talk about this a little bit.
We've had this package for this meeting since last Friday. Have you contacted Mr. Botcher to discuss this with him?
Well, I'd like the public to have a chance to come in on this, too.
Well, and no, we had public comment tonight. No one spoke.
Okay, but... We need to get on with the business here.
Tammy.
Councilmember Deedy.
Well, I would just, I fully support this. And the citizens have had a chance to review this since Friday as well. And just like Councilmember Edelman has stated, nobody has emailed me. Maybe you guys have an email. Nobody has spoken on this tonight. That's when you get up to speak at new business, you can talk about this. So I haven't heard anybody say that they don't support this. And we've all had that chance to, hold on, I'm still speaking. Thank you.
You don't get a chance.
So I think that, you know, we all have the chance to have the opportunity to ask staff questions. We've all had it since Friday. I don't know why anybody can't contact Seth and ask him questions. So I don't understand why moving it to a committee meeting next week or whenever you're going to have this makes any sense when you got him right here and you got the full body. We can be here till 10 again. No big deal. Let's just get this going. Let's ask the questions. We've all read it. Let's get the questions asked and get this passed. And I second Janie's motion.
I don't remember what your motion was. Could you repeat?
My motion was to suspend the rules and to take action on this resolution tonight.
Oh, okay. Any further comment? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No.
Councilmember Morgan.
Hi. I just would like to say that there's, out of this, what I read in here is there's 3,000 of the 50K that's going to be going to administration. And the other 47K is left hanging out there, and nobody has any idea what specifically it might be used for. I've also noted that our citizens are paying to the city's budget about $9,000 a household. And I just think that there would be no problem with the citizens being able to have a little bit more of an idea of how that money is being spent. It's just my opinion.
Thank Seth, you. Can you address that?
There's several areas that the city, and this is talking over with Dan Del Santo as to what are the big needs this year. So this is an administrative thing that we have not made a decision on, where are the big needs. But in talking with him, one of the big ones is the Lawson Hills Storm Pond number 3 has some major maintenance that we need to do on that pond. It probably costs around $15,000. For us to keep up with our street sweeping that we've committed to in the in our stormwater permit, that's out of pocket expense. That's another area that we could use the funds for. Whenever you sweep, then you have material that is costly to get rid of. Maintenance of stormwater equipment. And then another is we could use some assistance with the implementation of low-impact development, which is going to be a requirement of our new stormwater manual that we need to adopt by the end of the year. So those are some of the things.
Are we still going with our motion that we have to put this in committee?
Restate that. Am I going to say that again?
Yeah, restate it, please.
Okay. I move to that this resolution be referred for council committee review to the Growth Management Land Use Planning and Community Service Committee meeting Thursday. Whoa, I don't know if that, I'm sorry, I don't know if that's accurate. Wait. Meeting Thursday at 6:30 p.m.
I second it.
Is there any further discussion? Councilmember Edelman.
Next Thursday, I thought we had a work study scheduled. That's what's on the calendar
right
now.
We do have a work study scheduled.
So how can we have a committee meeting and a work study at basically the same time? I guess we'll be busy. I think that's an unacceptable answer.
Well, I don't have an answer to that.
Then maybe you should amend your motion to just say that it will be taken up at the next committee meeting.
Okay.
And leave it at that when it is scheduled, because you guys have, there's no meetings scheduled yet.
I take your suggestion as a good one. Thank you.
And I'll second it that way.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No. Oh, thank you.
The next item on the agenda is resolution number 16-1075, supporting and establishing the city's wellness program. Ms. Martinez.
Thank you, Mayor. Mayor, council members, citizens, I'm happy to present this before you tonight. Last year in 2015, the mayor tasked the clerk's department with developing and implementing an employee wellness program for 2016. Approval of this resolution before you would be the first step in implementing that program. Benefits of the program are prevention of illnesses and injuries, promoting better morale, reduced absenteeism, enhanced productivity and performance among employees. And in addition to those benefits, there's others as well, but in addition to those benefits, the city can apply for a Well City Award, and if awarded, we will be eligible for a 2% premium discount for health benefits for the city as a whole. This discount would apply to our 2018 premium costs and would be approximately $9,500, and that number is based on the 2015 actual cost since we haven't got 2016. Participation in this program does require a budget dollar amount, and it is a minimum requirement of $10 per employee. So just an estimated number, 30 employees, it would be about $300. This has been set aside in the budget, so there is money available for this. As you can tell from the fiscal note that Mae Miller, our finance director, has provided. These funds will be used to put on activities, get speakers, and provide incentives for employees. Once council has established the program, the next step in the city is to form the committee. And once that is done, members of the committee will begin working together to develop and implement the program using the AWC Wellness City Standards, which are developing policies and procedures, gaining management support, creating a wellness committee, weaving your wellness network, assessing program needs, building an infrastructure of health, forming an operating plan, planning activities and interventions, and evaluating progress and outcomes. I provided at the desk tonight a copy of the 2016 wellness standards and roadmap that has been provided so that it can show this is a very structured program that AWC has put together. This program will be designed to fit all aspects of wellness, including mind, body, and spirit. We're really excited to be part of this program, and many other of the employees are too. Just in the halls, since we've been talking, we're throwing out ideas what we can do and projects and programs. And once this program is developed and implemented, I will step down as the forefront of this, and my deputy will take over as the lead on this project. I have checked with the union, and this is acceptable to them as well. Since this is only a volunteer, you are not obligated to participate in it. Is it a volunteer opportunity? But I just wanted to assure you all that this is a welcome program to the city, and we're really looking forward to having you guys endorse and establish this program.
Councilmember Pepper?
I support this wellness program. I really, these workplace programs promoting healthy choices are becoming standard in a lot of workplaces, and I think that it's an ideal, from the information that I have read here, I think it's an excellent beginning for the staff.
Councilmember Morgan?
I guess what I would like to say is, as an alumni of the healthcare industry, I really applaud these sorts of programs, and I'm super proud, and the employees of the City of Black Diamond also need to be super proud of themselves for embracing this program and cooperating with it. Thank you.
Councilmember Weber.
I'd just like to concur with the comments of the last couple council members, and I'd also like to add that I'm glad to hear that the union is thumbs up with it too, because I know that's kind of a point of contention with some unions, the wellness programs, but yeah, rock it. Good.
Do I hear a motion?
I move to adopt resolution number 16-1075, establishing a city employee wellness program.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Do we have any department reports? under the mayor's report, I attended a short course on local planning at the Covington Council Chambers last Thursday, with an emphasis on open public meetings. On Tuesday, I attended a farmers market preliminary meeting. we will have interviews for the Planning Commission tomorrow. Council reports, Councilmember Deedy.
I attended the short course in planning also.
Councilmember Morgan.
Let's see. I had written up some notes and I left them at home, so you guys are lucky. I guess the first thing I want to say, one of the things that I wanted to say is watch your calendars for the council committee dates and times, and agendas, and I think that those agendas will be up pretty quick. And let's see. Oh. Last night, I went to the SCA meeting, and what I can report to you from them is that they are real proud of themselves for their, and deservedly so, for their ability to agree on the items that they want to bring forward, and to use the numbers of the 36 of the 36 member cities toward those ends. They are planning on increasing the multimodal transportation business, which means a whole battery, anything that you could think of to get people to work. It's not just buses. It's also not just buses and trains. It's a whole battery of things. And when they were out here talking the last time, I mean, I'll just say this, I noticed that the next time I went up Lawson Street, there was one of those commuter buses.
The DART buses.
Yeah, DART buses dropping people off. I thought that was fairly interesting. And I know that our parking lot always fills up right away. And another thing that I thought was really interesting, and maybe not everybody will really completely agree with this, but because it's kind of a political thing, but the part of the group that's working on homelessness, they are having a new emphasis and a new perspective, and they're deciding that the real problem with homelessness is the fact that there isn't a shelter that the people have over their heads, and they're going to concentrate on providing the shelter first, and not making the providing of the shelter have contingencies. You know, attached with it, because they have found, and where they have done this, they have found that recovery rates from all kinds of negative things that happen with people who are homeless are recovered from faster, better, sooner, and the people who themselves take more ownership of their situation when they find themselves in just shelter. So I thought that was very interesting, and I was glad to see it happening. Thanks.
Councilmember Edelman?
Well, I just want to piggyback on the homeless issue, because that was brought up at the Public Issues Committee meeting last year as part of the Sound Cities Association. We had a presentation by the Committee to End Homelessness. They had a 10-year plan, and they came in at the 10 years, and they decided to change their name because it's not worked out so very well. Just an aside. Anyway, on the 28th, I also participated at the Planning Short course, and I would like to give kudos to not only our Community Development Director, Barb Kincaid, but also to the City of Maple Valley and Covington, because it was a tri-city meeting that we attended, and it was very well done. Last night, I attended the Lake Sawyer Community Club annual meeting, where the mayor gave a presentation on the rising levels of Lake Sawyer and beaver dam conditions and that kind of stuff. There is a Public Issues Committee meeting next Wednesday, the 10th, in Renton, and I plan on attending that. So the next council meeting, I will have a report on where the PIC is going. And then as an aside, and I don't think I'm going to be able to attend, I have a conflict, but there is a STEM luncheon, which is science, technology, engineering, and math, at the Enumclaw School District. That luncheon is on the 11th, and it's at 11:30. It's a fabulous thing to go through. I went a year or so ago, where they talk about encouraging the high school kids to get involved in the sciences, and they have success stories, and it's a very, very worthwhile program for all of our kids that are in high school. So that's it.
Councilmember Weber?
Well, unfortunately, I wasn't able to attend the short course last week, so I plan to do that online when I get a chance. And unlike Erica, I remembered my notes.
Interesting.
So I just want to mention a few things. Regarding the OPMA, or the Open Public Meetings Act, I believe that the city attorney made several wrong assumptions. The council members violated the OPMA. I deeply believe in open government and full public participation. Regarding the new council committees with a quorum, this change is completely legal under the OPMA because the meetings will be properly noticed. The meetings will also be required to have meeting minutes. This means the public will have much more information and have it sooner than under the old system. Based on my research, the new council rules are, I feel, very legally defensible and reasonable. I am disappointed that the city attorney has taken the position that I feel is incorrect on this and other matters. For this reason, I have lost confidence in my ability to obtain accurate and impartial legal advice from the city attorney. And I guess I'll close with, this is about the fifth council meeting that I've been on since I came on council, and that's five meetings that we've had a full house. So, you know, whether you guys are for, against, in the middle, up, down, all around, you're here and you're participating. And I appreciate that. No matter which side of the fence you're on, or, you know, thank you for bringing your kudos and your arrows. So that's all I have.
Councilmember Pepper?
I attended a parliamentary procedure meeting in Olympia McFarlane. She has a way of describing parliamentary procedure by using dinosaurs. And so people from all over the state come to learn parliamentary procedure better. I also had the chance to attend the short course of the Tri-Cities at the Covington meeting. And I have done a lot of comprehensive work on committee structure and procedure. standing committee meetings in the evenings with quorums of the council on them will make the council's committees totally transparent because they are required by law to fully comply with the Open Public Meetings Act. Unlike existing committees, they are not required to follow the same public notice requirements. I did my best to fully comply with the Open Public Meetings Act. I followed the law when I called for a special meeting, and I did not violate the Open Public Meetings Act when I helped draft our rules. I have consulted with attorneys and experts in the field, and I would also like to thank every single person that came out tonight, whether you have positive or negative things to say. It is my belief that democracy is a live creature, and when you engage in it, you make it work. So thank you so much for coming out today. I really appreciate it.
This is time now for the second public comment period. Persons wishing to address the City Council on items of new business are encouraged to do so at this time. When recognized by the mayor, please come to the podium and clearly state your name. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes. Is there anybody wishing to speak? Mr. Dudowski.
Madam Mayor and council members, I draw attention to your rules of procedure that you revised. This is on page 25, and I will read this. The committee chair shall set the committee schedule and agenda. I want to give you this emphasis. All meetings shall be noticed in the same manner as council meetings and be conducted in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act 42.30. I take great exception to, once again, information from your city attorney that's not accurate. It is clear that your rules provided for public notice per the OPMA as special meetings. That was in your rules that you adopted. Moreover, Attorney General Order 2010, number 9, I first became aware of that through talking to one of the lead attorneys for the King County Council, because several weeks ago, I inquired as to whether there were any changes in the law. I was advised, and again, I'm not an attorney, so you don't want to take secondhand information. You want to take it with a grain of salt. You want to double check it. But I was informed that the county council made a small adjustment to their rules of procedure to make clear that the notice, in the past, they were just noticing these committee meetings as committee meetings. And so they just amended their procedures so that the meetings would be sent out as notices as committee and the council meetings. That is why I suggested that you put this language in your rules that specifically says that they'll be noticed as special meetings. It was informed by the Attorney General's order. By the way, the King County Council rules that they amended include a reference to that AGO opinion. Finally, I want to congratulate the council members that asked detailed and complex questions. I think your committee structure is going to serve the people well. You'll have evening meetings. The people will come in. You'll be able to go into a lot of detail. The committee meetings may be short or long, but the committee chairs will be able to decide how much public input. Hopefully, you'll create an opportunity for give and take and back and forth. I think that'll be a good thing for the public. Another thing we know is that given your rules, when an idea comes up, when an ordinance or resolution is presented for the first time, it'll go to committee and back to the council, and so the public will get about 14 days review, and at least three full opportunities to make input. That's an improvement. Over time, the city staff will likely adapt to this schedule, and I think your workflow will be quite good. I think your council meetings will be more efficient and more effective, and I look forward to that day. Now, there were some comments made about how...
Mr. Dudowski?
Yes.
Did you want to extend his time?
Oh, I don't need it. Thank you very much for the opportunity to present to you.
Is there anybody else wishing to speak? George.
I'd say one thing. I gave my name and address before. I would like to know what this is going to cost. In other words, you've got new committee meetings. I think you're going to have an attorney there at times. I'd like to know what the impact on the staff is going to be. Because with this, I can see that they're going to be, there's a deluge of work that they're going to have to be doing. So whatever it takes, I would like to know what the impact is, cost-wise and staff-wise. Thank you.
Well, I can tell you that this month our costs for the attorney were three times what they normally are, and if we continue at this rate, we will run out of budget by June. Secondly, we probably will not be staffing those meetings because they haven't been asked to be staffed. They want to run their own meetings. They have not asked them to be staffed, so I'm not planning on having staff attend those meetings. Yes, Mr. Box.
Dennis Box, Black Diamond. This dispute is going to go on for eternity, and looking at this paper here, we need to get some outside help. Maybe if you're for or against whatever's going on here, you need to contact the Attorney General. And I'm all in favor of let the lawsuits fly. Sooner the better. And if you think holding meetings, you're going to get the public, you've been around that Green Cross way too much, because it ain't going to happen. The only time people attend meetings is when their ox is being gored. Thank you.
Would anybody else like to address council? Pat?
Pat Nelson, Black Diamond. If you're twist today, if you're not an attorney, don't take advice from an attorney as they give you advice. And we have a good attorney that's doing a great job here. As well as we heard from a non-resident that they made the advice on how to change the rules, which just goes to show that the advice has been given by a non-attorney. I find it interesting that there are certain people that have an agenda that doesn't represent the city they don't live in. I don't want to say names because I don't want to have to be called to whatever. But once again, to say that you don't want to take advice from a non-attorney and then give advice doesn't make sense to me. Maybe it's just me. But we have an attorney that does make recommendations with legal understanding of the laws. And it's easy to find four or five attorneys to sit and battle all day long at the cost of the residents. I just hope that that amazing Black Diamond logo doesn't disappear this council's meeting, because the direction we're going to bankrupt the city and become Covington or Maple Valley before you know it. I just think that we're wasting time and money changing the way we voted to do business. And honestly, I would ask again, you look at what you've done, take the advice of the attorney, fix the problem, or please step down and find someone that can do it right. Thank you.
Robin.
Robin Taylor. And
council for the first reading, then it'll get assigned to a committee, which it had already been spitballed around in the committee by this point. It'll get assigned to a committee, then they will do a recommend or not recommend. So I asked the question. I said, historically, the committee meetings were staff council driven because it was the city and the council coming together and discussing the needs of the city. And I said, it sounds to me like this is more going to be public driven. Is the staff not going to be involved in this? And I was told that they would not be. And in the council rules, I was quickly coming through. I have gone through these rules. I've highlighted, I've made annotations. The city attorney will be there if she's requested to be there. There's nothing said about staff being there. So I'm wondering, where the heck is this committee getting its information from? How do you know what's coming up in the city? How do you know the work that's being done by staff? How do you know the issues of the city if you are not interfacing with the city? How do you know? How do you know? You're just sitting around spitballing with public. But I will point out one thing. When the council, former council, was approached to sponsor an initiative to change the form of government in Black Diamond, there was quite a hullabaloo. But actually, it ended up that the people had no recourse for the initiative.
Do you want to allow her a little more time?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
People had no recourse for initiative. It was not codified in the city at that time. So the council went ahead, they sponsored the initiative, they had the vote. But what the council did do was they codified the citizens' right and method of initiative and referendum in this city. So the citizens of the city are not helpless and bound by what the council will or will not do. The citizens have the right to initiative and referendum to go around, do their signatures, whatever they need to do, and then present it to the city clerk so that it goes on ballot. So I am concerned that these committees are interacting with citizens, but nobody is interacting with the city to know what's actually going on in the city or with the city. And that is a big concern of mine. Because citizens are great, we are what runs government, but the city is a whole other entity and it cannot be ignored. The citizens need to be cared for, and it's the city that takes care of them, so you need to know what the city is doing. So how are you going to do that? That's what I'm wondering. How and when are you going to interface with the city to get that?
Is there anybody else that would like to speak? Rock?
I'm Rock Haiti, Black Diamond, and just for part on the gym, we're doing good. We had another open volleyball session last night, and there's 17 people there, so we continue to fill the gym as we can. And
is there anybody else wishing to speak? Kristen?
I shouldn't have a
rules are clear that you would be notice of the special meeting. The second notice, the old rules did not specify notice requirements about those committees. Yet those committee schedules were on the city calendar, or public notice of broadly of the special meeting would be. But my point is that the old rules didn't address this either. It seems reasonable to expect on the part of council that the practice, the old practice of those in those community meetings would continue, because in the old rules, it's not in the new rules, but the new rules do have a special notice requirement added. I think if the administration wanted to be helpful to the public, they would post the meetings per the attorney specification rather than use that as some kind of an excuse not to implement the meeting.
Can I respond to that?
Yes.
I first want to point out that I didn't have one concern at the last meeting and then one concern at this meeting. I think I've written a confidential memo to the council that must be 11 pages long about these new rules and why they're problematic, and I can't go into all that. The issue tonight, though, on the notice, the reason the old rules didn't address notice is because there were only two council members on the committee, and it didn't need to address notice because a quorum of the council was not meeting. The reason we have a problem now is because the rules have changed, and now we have a quorum of the council on standing committees. That's the issue. And with regard to Mr. Dierdrowski's comment that the King County rules and the Attorney General's opinion has been incorporated in the new rules, that's false. Again, I'm reading from the King County rules, and it references the Attorney General opinion. And what it says is that the Attorney General has advised that when a committee meeting is attended by a quorum of the governing body, it must be noticed not only as a committee meeting, but also as a meeting of the governing body. And here's the important point that does not appear in the revised rules. For this reason, all meetings of council committees shall be noticed both as committee meetings and as council meetings whose agenda is limited to the committee business. That language does not appear in the new rules. Thanks.
Is there anybody else wishing to speak? Seeing no one, I will close this public comment session. Is there an executive session? Do we have an attorney's report?
No.
Okay.
I just
gave it. I will accept a motion for adjournment.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Meeting adjourned.